Hello, and welcome to another edition of Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. Just did a Word Magazine earlier this week on did the Gospels plagiarize from pagan sources. And I mentioned that I'd plan to do some upcoming Word Magazines on text criticism. However, yesterday I ran into a piece of information that I thought might warrant doing another Word Magazine. And I have to say, I am doing this one sort of off the cuff. I don't have a script or a text or anything like that. Gonna be, again, kind of talking off the cuff here, so I hope I don't ramble. But anyway, the issue relates to the English Standard Version, the ESV, which has become one of the biggest selling English Bibles in the U.S. Apparently, it is now in third place behind the King James Version. rumors of its death are greatly exaggerated. And the NIV, which is apparently in second place, and the ESV has crawled its way into third place. I have offered some critiques of the ESV, which is published by Crossway and is put forward sort of as the Bible to have if you're young, restless, and reformed, or if you're a complementarian, reformed, evangelical, Calvinistic, but not confessionally reformed. And so it's part of, I don't know, kind of like your union card. If you're going to be a Calvinistic, young, restless, reformed, you almost have to read the English Standard Version. I have a post on my blog, and then I also did a reading of it, and so it's on sermonaudio.com also, called, let's see, what is it again? Let me pull it up real quick. It's called Three Basic Challenges to the ESV. So if you want to read some of my challenges to the ESV. But the news item that I heard yesterday, and the thing that led to me wanting to do this Word Magazine episode, was the announcement that I saw. I saw it on Christianity Today. It came out yesterday, September the 28th of 2016. Article posted by Jeremy Weber. The title of the article is Crossway Reverses Decision to Make ESV Bible Text Permanent. And it has a little subtitle, Amid Much Public Debate, Publisher Says Strategy for a Stable Bible Was a Mistake. I wasn't even aware of this, but apparently back in August, the caretakers for the English Standard Version at Crossway decided that they were going to stop revising the English Standard Version text, and they were going to come out with a permanent text edition. And did a little bit of looking, and I found another article also on Christianity Today, and I'll do a blog post at jeffriddle.net and put some links to the things I mentioned there. But this is an article that was posted on September the 9th of 2016, also on Christianity Today, their gleaning section, article by Sarah Ekoff Zylstra, and it's titled, After Tweaking 29 Verses, Bible Translation Becomes Unchanging Word of God. Subtitled, The New Permanent ESV Echoes the Example of the KJV. So, apparently, again, back in August, the caretakers of the ESV decided they were going to stop revising it, and they were just going to have one edition, and this was going to be the edition that would go on forever and ever. And apparently they got some pushback on that, and yesterday they announced that that was a wrong-headed decision, that had been a mistake, and so they're going to continue to offer revisions to the ESV as needed. Just a little bit of background on the ESV. Again, it came out in 2001. by Crossway. It was hailed as a fantastic achievement. There was a major bandwagon marketing campaign that was used to present it to evangelical audiences. They had ads that listed all the famous pastors who were endorsing it, and you know, John Piper was in the vanguard of that, and others. And I remember when I attended an Evangelical Theological Society meeting around the time that it came out, actually around the time the ESV Study Bible came out. I remember being in the meeting hall, and they were bringing in just stacks and stacks of the ESV Study Bibles and giving them away to theological students, seminary students who were there promoting the ESV. So they were very successful in a bandwagon marketing strategy. Look, Piper uses it, and so you ought to use it too. And look at all these other people who use it. Look, Kevin DeYoung uses it, and all these other cutting-edge evangelical, Calvinistic evangelical pastors and scholars, ministers use it. So you ought to also. But anyways, the ESV, though, this is part of my critique of it, is really not a new translation. It's a revision of the Revised Standard Version, which was the go-to Bible for mainline Protestant Christianity. And if you attend a mainline Protestant church today, United Methodist or PCUSA, most likely you're using the new Revised Standard Version, the NRSV, which is also a revision of the RSV. But the ESV, they were able to get the copyright or pay for it. Still a little bit cloudy as to how they acquired it. The copyright from the National Council of Churches, that ought to be a red flag, very liberal organization, to take the Revised Standard Version and come out with an evangelical version of it. So one of the criticisms of the old RSV was that in Isaiah 7:14, instead of the virgin shall conceive, they put the young woman shall conceive. Well, they took that in the ESV and they went back to the traditional language, a virgin shall conceive. But otherwise, if you take the RSV and the ESV, there's, you know, scores of passages where it's exactly the same. And then the roots for the RSV go back to the American Standard Version of 1901, which was the American version of the Revised English Version that came out in the late 19th century as one of the first modern translations to challenge the dominance of the KJV. It failed, but it opened the floodgates for scores of modern translations. One of the things that irked me when Crossway came out with the ESV was that they promoted it as a continuation of the Tyndale tradition, the Tyndale KJV tradition, and it's really not. If you take Tyndale's translation of the New Testament, you take the KJV, King James Version, you notice how similar they are, and then lay alongside of that the ESV, and you notice how many departures it takes from the Tyndale KJV tradition. So it's not in the Tyndale KJV tradition, it is in the Revised English Version, American Standard Version, RSV, Revised Standard Version stream or tradition. So anyways, it came out in 2001, and they did some revising of it. I think they had a revision that came out in 2007, and then they had another major revision that was done in 2011. And then apparently, again this summer, they went through another period of revising it, I guess revising some of the translation choices. And again, they announced this was going to be the permanent version. Let me just go to the first article, the September 9 article from Sarah Ekoff-Zylstra. which is titled after tweaking 29 verses, Bible translation becomes unchanging word of God. I mean, that's hilarious in and of itself. So it starts off, a popular Bible translation is now literally the unchanging word of God. The English Standard Version received its final update this summer, 17 years after it was first authorized by Crossway, its publisher. The Translation Oversight Committee changed just 52 words across 29 verses out of more than 775,000 words across more than 31,000 verses for the final, quote, permanent text, end quote, edition. The board then voted unanimously to make the text, quote, unchanged forever in perpetuity, end quote. That language is really strange. I mean, unchanged forever. I mean, at least they could have said it's unchanged until, you know, Christ returns. It's kind of strange that they would claim for the ESV, I mean, they could claim for the Word of God, may endure forever, but not this particular translation enduring forever. It goes on to say the ESV is following the example of a much older and surprisingly popular translation, talking about the King James Version. The text of the ESV Bible, it continues, will remain unchanged in all future editions, printed and published by Crossway in much the same way that the King James Version has remained unchanged ever since the final KJV text was established almost 250 years ago in 1769. That's a quote from that's cited here in the article from Crossway on its website that they had put up at the time. And it's referring to the fact that you have this, the King James Version first translated, first printed in 1611, and then there were several revisions of it, and the one that most people know today is the 1769 so-called Blaney edition. There were changes made in the spelling and some grammatical adjustments in 1769. He goes on to say, one difference, while the ESV copyright is held universally by Crossway, the KJV copyright was held by the Crown of England, is only valid in the UK, da-da-da. Anyways, it goes on. Let me just point to this in the article. It says that two of the ESV's final changes were in Genesis. One evoked a slightly more complementarian reading. So in this permanent edition revision that was done this summer of 2016, they changed Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, from "your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you" to your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And similarly, in Genesis 4:7, they changed it from "sin's desire is for you, but you must rule over it" to "sin's desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." And I did a little looking around on the internet for this, that Scott McKnight, New Testament scholar in Illinois at Northern Baptist Seminary, had on his blog criticized the ESV for making this change, giving some pushback to what he thought sounded like some heavy-handed complementarian interpretation that was put in there. Your desire shall be for your husband, or your desire is contrary to you, your desire will be shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And you can also, if you do a little looking around, you can see that Denny Burke of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, now the president of the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, on his blog gave some response and pushback to Scott McKnight. So there was this big announcement end of August and on Christianity Today's website, after tweaking 29 verses, Bible translation becomes unchanging Word of God. But then, just this week, on September 28, they have reversed that decision. And here is the article. Let me read just a little bit of it. the Jeremy Weber article, Crossway Reverses Decision to Make ESV Bible Text Permanent. It starts off, the publisher of the English Standard Version of the Bible has reversed its controversial decision to finalize the text after tweaking 29 verses. And by the way, if you go online, as I did, and you try to find the original Crossway announcement about the permanent edition, and it'll if you Google it, and it'll give you some links, but when you hit the links, you'll get you'll go to pages that are blank that have been taken down. So they no longer, at least that I could find, Crossway no longer lists the tweaking of the final 29 verses that were supposed to then to create the this ideal permanent text of the ESV. It states here in the article by Weber from September 28, 2016, has a quote from Crossway President and CEO Lane Dennis. We have become convinced that this decision was a mistake. We apologize for this and for any concern this has caused for readers of the ESV, and we want to explain what we now believe to be the way forward. Our desire, above all, is to do what is right before the Lord. Scott McKnight, again, previously mentioned critic of this decision, and particularly the complementarian influence translation from Genesis 3, he's apparently tweeted, good for the ESV, let's see, they have another fellow, the Desiring God editor Brian DeWire, also tweeted, I'm glad Crossway made this decision about the ESV, and I'm glad to see them change their minds in an admirable way. And then it goes on to give the background. Last month, Crossway announced that after changing 52 words and 29 verses, out of more than 775,000 words across more than 31,000 verses, the ESV text would remain unchanged in all future editions. The publisher's intended goal was to stabilize the ESV, serving its readership by establishing the ESV as a translation that could be used for generations to come. We desired for there to be a stable and standard text, says Lane Dennis, that would serve the reading, memorizing, preaching, and liturgical needs of Christians worldwide from one generation to another. So there's a little bit more discussion on it. So, yeah, I find this to be interesting, interesting decision by the ESV. I mean, it seems bizarre, actually strange, that a translation that was sort of produced out of criticism of the King James Version, seeing its textual basis, the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible and the Textus Receptus of the New Testament, as being archaic, and seeing its language as being archaic. And you know, it seems like if you're on the bandwagon for modern translations that are based on modern critical biblical language texts, whether that's a modern critical text of the Hebrew Bible or the current modern critical text of the Greek New Testament, that if you're committed to that, then you have to be committed to always having basically an open canon with regard to what is going to be included in the text of Scripture, and thereby you have to have an open translation philosophy, because the translation has to change as the modern critical text changes. There was an article that was posted on the Evangelical Text Criticism blog just the other day, and they were talking about future editions of the modern critical Greek text coming out of the German Bible Society. And the most recent revision is the Nestle on 28th of 2012. And they're now going through this process where they're applying the newest method of text criticism, the coherence-based genealogy method, I think it's called. And they, in the 28th edition, they had applied this to the Catholic epistles. But now they've got to go and apply it to the Gospels and Paul's letters. And in this note that was on the Evangelical Text Criticism blog, they were essentially saying that it's going to take, no kidding, it's going to take 80 years of continual revision before they complete this process. So they're apparently, we can count on, at least for the next 80 years, a series of changes and updates and printings of the modern critical Greek. That's just the New Testament. So if you're hitching your wagon to modern translations, then you're hitching your wagon to a constantly moving target translation. It's going to lack stability. It's going to be updated and changed every couple of years. And it's interesting that the people at Crossway maybe sort of intuitively began to see that as a bit of a problem, that it's a problem, as he mentions, for preaching. It's a problem for memorizing the scriptures. It's a problem for people in the pew having the same Bible and it reading different things, different ways. What does that do to build up people's sense of the stability of Scripture and its providential preservation? Again, that's the missing theological term so often with moderns, is any consideration of the providential preservation of Scripture. So they're like, wait a second, you know, maybe there's something to the fact that the King James Version has provided stability since 1769. So we've had, you know, hundreds of years with a translation of the Bible that is stable and isn't constantly changing, so it can you can have the same readings liturgically in the life of the church, at weddings, at funerals, in Lord's Day worship, and it's not constantly shifting and changing. And they began to see that actually has some value. And I would say, you know, not just for English translations, but it's also true for the underlying original language text. When you have a Hebrew text of the Old Testament that isn't constantly fluctuating and changing based on whatever discoveries, archaeological discoveries, or discoveries of new versions or early translations of the Old Testament, the text isn't always shifting around. Or when you have a text of the New Testament in Greek, like the Textus Receptus, the received text, that isn't constantly being updated or changed over the next 80 years or whatever. So there's some value to stability. Now the ESV, they made this decision. Apparently they got a lot of pushback on it, and I think they realize it is contradictory. If you're going to commit to the modern translation enterprise, then you can't say that there's going to be a permanent text edition. So it was a permanent text edition fail for Crossway and the ESV, and I find that to be very, very interesting and strange too. Well, again, this was sort of off the cuff. Hope it wasn't too incoherent. And I do have several other Word magazines that I'm hoping to put out over the next couple of weeks. One on the Engedi Scroll and one on a couple maybe on a review of a sermon on the ending of Mark that someone called my attention. Till then, take care and God bless.
How my soul longs for His presence, for the ever-living God. When shall I behold His face in His holy dwelling place? Now I feed on tears from weeping, while they say, "Is your God sleeping?" All these things I call to memory, and I ponder in my heart. How with throngs I moved rejoicing to His temple's sacred court. Why my soul be in despair? Why this worry and this care? Hope in God, my soul's salvation. Him I'll praise with jubilation. When my heart despairs within me, then will I recall once more as the headwaters of Jordan from the Mount of Hermon pour. Deep to deep roars out its sound, waves and rapids surging round. In the day God's love comes freely, and at night his song is with me. To my God, my rock, I murmur, how could you forget me? How? All my foes oppressness taunt me, where's your God, they ask me now. Why my soul be in despair, why this worry and this care? Hope in God, my soul's salvation, him I'll praise with jubilation.